7654321.
It's now time for the Pony Cake Sports Podcast with your hosts, Josh Stevens, Tim Thompson, and Tom Schultz.
Woo! Hey there, everybody. We are back with another episode, and it is going to be the wide receiver positional rankings for our, fantasy football. So, again, we are Pony Cake Sports. You guys can follow us on Twitter, at Pony Cake Sports, at Pony Cake Tom, at Pony Cake Tim. Hit us up on our website, ponycakesports.com. Email us, ponycakesports@gmail.com. If you guys have any questions, comments, anything like that, do so and do it now. That way we can get those questions on air on our next show. So let's get to it.
Josh, I feel like we need to listen. It's our first night here again, live on WBLZ, and we are here. We're taking over, right? We're showing everyone why they are listening, because we are the number one fantasy sports broadcast on this site and actually in the whole entire world. I don't care if you're from Korea, Japan, Ireland, it doesn't matter.
Somalia. We love Somalia.
There are Somalian pirates around the world that love to listen to Pony Keg Sports. So, again, pull up a chair, sit back, crack and open a beer, and listen to some great fantasy advice, because that's what we're here for.
So, wide receiver rankings, I'm pretty excited to talk about it. But, again, I do want to talk about our boys that have been along the way with us, CleatGeeks.com. Hit them up on CleatGeeks. On Twitter at Cleat Geeks. Let them know that we are the ones that sent you. Do a bunch of good stuff, articles and all that good stuff. So, they got anything special going on later this week?
They do. They have the two shoe tying championships going on. So it's basically a speed race for who can tie their shoe the fastest. There's two separate categories. There's the loop, swoop, and pull, and then there's the bunny ears. So it depends on which way you grew up with, but definitely something to look out for.
Well, I am excited for the bunny ears one for sure. So let's talk
you
about
look like a bunny ears kid.
Let's talk about our wide receivers. We did another 40. I'm just gonna blaze through the 40 to 31 real quick. Kind of talk about them just real quick, touch on it. We're kind of running a little bit late. We're not used to this whole timing thing. So I'm sorry, everybody. It is what it is.
Don't say running late. Last time I heard someone running late, now I have two kids. So calm down.
That is true. Let's talk about number 40, Brandon Marshall. Number 39, Quincy Enunwa. 38, rookie Zay Jones. 37, Corey Coleman from the Browns. 36, starting wide receiver Kelvin Benjamin from the Panthers. Number 35, Devonta Parker. 34, Stephon Diggs. 33, Jeremy Maclin. 32, Jameson Crowder. And 31, Pierre Garçon. So those are the guys that we wanted to touch real quick on. And who'd you want to talk about?
I want to talk about my boy, Zay Jones. You know, I only had him 38th on my list. Tim had him 34th. Josh, you had him at 40. That's decent. I think he's our highest rated rookie wide receiver, though. And I think he deserves to be that. He played at a smaller school, but he can do it all. Very good route runner. That translates when you are a good route runner in college to the NFL. And that's going to translate for the Buffalo Bills. They do not have the best offense in the world, the one that can support high productive wide receivers. I am not a believer in Sammy Watkins. I think Zay Jones has a chance to be the feature wide receiver for the Bills, and I think he's a great dynasty pick.
Tom, well, I do agree with you. You know, I mentioned it over and over because I have been burned numerous times on rookie wide receivers. These two gentlemen here to my left and to my right call me the rookie wide receiver killer, because any rookie wide receiver that I draft is terrible. For instance, look at Laquon Treadwell. That was one of my draft picks. Look at Nelson Aguilar. Well, that was one of my draft picks.
That was a stupid pick.
That proof was in the pudding. But look, you can go into any fantasy with rookie wide receivers. It's hard for those to hit. Not a lot of first-year wide receivers have a lot of success. Now, there are some. I believe Zay Jones is in the situation where someone's going to have to catch the ball. So as long as there's no health injuries, I like the pick. I had him just inside my inside my starting wide receiver core. I had him at number 3 overall. What I want to talk about, I'm sorry, Josh, do you have anything on Zay?
No, I like Zay Jones.
What I want to talk about is how the hell am I the only one that has Brandon Marshall ranked? How is that possible? He has been successful everywhere. He's nuts. He's crazy. He's a cancer in the locker room. But first year on any team he goes on, he kills it.
Evan Ingram. We also have Sterling Shepard.
Yes.
I had Sterling Shepard ranked 40th on my list.
There's guys that will want the ball. OBJ, there's guys that are going to demand the ball.
There's guys that want – no. There's only one guy on that team who commands the football. And if you think otherwise, then you're lying to yourself. Odell Beckham Jr. is the only guy – I like Evan Ingram as well. But he's not someone who's going to take looks away, or I should say, you know, balls away from Brandon Marshall. He's going to get some looks, but he's not going to take stuff away from Brandon Marshall.
Remember the name Marquise Colston?
Yeah.
Yeah, remember that, because Evan Ingram is that version. That is, he's pretty much the same type of player. Big-bodied guy that is going to basically be a wide receiver, converted from a tight end. You will see one Evan Ingram turn into a wide receiver, and he will take he'll take the production that Marshall should get. We're going to see Evan Ingram going to be, I don't want to say the guy because OBJ's the guy, but he's going to be the number two, number three guy, and Brandon Marshall will be an afterthought.
So you're saying he has the potential to be even above Sterling Shepard?
Yes.
Wow. Okay. Well, I can't say that I don't think I've ever disagreed with you more on anything in my entire life outside of that stupid-ass jersey that you're wearing tonight. Brandon Marshall, like I said, first year on a team, he's a killer. That's exactly what he is. He's going in there. He's still the same big body. He's a red zone threat. With them having no running game, Paul Perkins isn't even a real person at this point. He's going to go in there. The ability that he's got, the things that he's going to be able to do with the attention being on Odell Beckham Jr. is what makes him that. Having him at 40 is an insult. Nope. I felt guilty putting him at 35. The fact that we don't even have him ranked at a wide receiver 3 is ridiculous. And all these other shows are going to point and laugh at you too.
I have Brandon Marshall ranked after white guy from Vikings. So that's what I got.
I wanted to bring that up. Big shout out to Josh's 38th wide receiver, white guy from Vikings.
Adam Thielen, baby.
I'm glad you know his name.
I know who he is.
Can I also say, we do this on a Google Doc. I try to be like, I keep, you know.
So do I.
The number, dot, space, and then all everything grammatically correct. Josh has zeros as O's. He's got just nothing capitalized. He's got white guy from Vikings.
I was on my phone. All
totally
right?
Unprofessional.
I was trying to get shit done. I'm at work. I'm trying to make it happen. I'm on break. And you're lucky I even put a list together with first initials for their names.
The last time I didn't have my top 40 done, and I told you I'd get it to you, you kicked me off the show for like 6 months.
We don't fuck around here at Pony Keg Sports. We are... cutthroat.
I'm glad that you got your rankings up during your shift at Petland, but you need to get your fucking grammar together.
Let's go ahead and what do you think about 31, Pierre Garçon? I know you want to talk about him a little bit, Tom.
I love Pierre Garçon. I think he's gonna be the number one guy in San Francisco. They really don't have anything else. Last time he was with Kyle Shanahan, he had over 100 receptions. I think he was over 1,300 or 1,400 yards. Touchdown total was low, but he's going to be a productive receiver in PPR. Being underdrafted in my eyes, 68.4, it's all right, but I think he should be taken in the fifth round. He's a perfect candidate to be a wide receiver 2 in my eyes.
Interesting to see what Hoyer's able to do with him. He's definitely a wide receiver 1 and definitely has the ability to be a wide receiver 2. Couldn't agree more, Tom.
Let's go ahead and move on to our the next part of the list. We have number 30, Sammy Watkins. Number 29, Willie Snead. Number 28, Keenan Allen. Number 27, Golden Tate.
Sammy Watkins is all the talent in the world. But for me, I had him ranked at 30. And that is because I have zero faith in him. I have no faith in him staying healthy. He's going off the board 42.3 overall. On Espen, I just think it's ludicrous, and I can't believe people are willing to give up that high of draft capital on a guy who has totally been inconsistent and who has totally bitten everyone in the ass the past few seasons who've drafted him.
Sammy Watkins going off in the third round compared to Zay Jones, who's going off in the 11th round. That's night and day. That's crazy.
I would much rather take a Willie Snead or a Keenan Allen as my 3 and then draft a Zay Jones much later as a 4, who has the potential to be a three.
Or a guy that's going at the same ADP, Julian Edelman's going 42, same as Sammy Watkins. Yeah, give me Julian Edelman.
More worried about fighting Stephen Gilmore, the damn sidelines.
So I just think it's crazy. I think his ADP right now is outrageous. A third round draft pick. I think you could do much better. You can pick somebody else. You can wait later on in the draft. You can fill other needs.
This is the perfect example that, you know what, we need to create something here. We need to create some sort of tagline or button or something that we press of, don't let the name fool you. And this is a prime example, Sammy Watkins. People fall in love with the name of what he was supposed to be and what he was supposed to develop into and some of the big games that he's had. 42.3 as an ADP is a joke. That's way, way too high.
Almost the opposite. We have Willie Snead at 29. His ADP is 97. And we have him at 29, one spot above Sammy Watkins. It's going at 42.
Tim, I know you don't consider Willie Snead the number two for New Orleans. You think Mr. Ted Ginn Jr.
Never said that.
I know you want to believe that, though. Yeah. And I'm shocked Ted Ginn is not in your top 20.
He's 41. Because
you are all over him. But Willie Snead. You gotta like the number two option in New Orleans. That team is a pass happy machine. Drew Brees almost a lock for over 5,000 yards. Almost a lock for having two receivers over 1,000 yards. They have one with Michael Thomas. I think Willie Snead is gonna be the second one, and he deserves to be started in most fantasy leagues.
Yeah, I totally agree. And if I wasn't an owner of Michael Thomas, I would definitely be owning Michael Snead. Who knows? Willie Snead. Who knows? Maybe even if I have Michael Thomas, I'd still go out and draft a Willie Snead because that offense is so passing prolific. You know, who are the other options? Ted Ginn and who else? Brandon Coleman. Brandon Coleman is a physical specimen. 6'4", 230 pounds, has not done shit. So I'm sorry. You know, I'm not a believer in Kobe Fleener. I'm not a believer in Josh Hill. Those are the two guys that I'm targeting, and Mr. Alvin Kamara.
Just about to say that.
Guys.
The new Marshall Faulk.
Guys.
We are not declaring that at all. Somebody else.
Just
did,
listen
so.
To Sean Payton.
Listen, to your point with Willie Snead, I mean, Willie Snead is the prime suspect that you should be looking at for your wide receiver three. Perfect position. No doubt, I mean, the value that you get from him above a Sammy Watkins is tenfold. Just look at the stat. I mean, I know it's been talked about at length, but there's been 9 times in the NFL that a quarterback has passed for over 5,000 yards. 5 of those 9 are from Drew Brees.
Bang,
2008,
bang.
11, 12, 13, and 16. That says it all. That's it. That's all you need to know. The Saints are passing. They're going to continue to pass. He just did it last year. It's not going to stop. Unless Drew Brees' arm falls off, they're fine. Draft Willie Snead late as a wide receiver 3 and let your dumbass friend like Josh take a Sammy Watkins.
Next up, we have Keenan Allen, 28.
I just don't know how to feel about Keenan Allen.
No one does. His mama don't know.
It sucks with Mike Williams possibly missing the whole season. And I kind of right now, I want to rank Tyrell Williams above Keenan Allen and move him in my top 40. Right now, he is not in my top 40. I'm really a loss for words right now with Keenan Allen. Dude, he is a special talent, but he just can't stay healthy. He's on the same boat as Sammy Watkins. People keep drafting him, keep expecting him to be a wide receiver one, keep expecting a good value in the third or fourth round, and he just shits on you, and you lose your season because of him.
You know, the first, you know, bell that should go off when drafting Keenan Allen is when you see his NFL picture with his Amish wispy ass beard. It looks creepy as hell. So that should be the first bell that go off. Beyond that, like you said, Tom, he's always injured. He can't stay healthy. It's like that trying to get lucky type deal. Like, do you want to base your fantasy season off of luck or off of facts and stats? If you take Keenan Allen out as a starting wide receiver or as a starting anything outside of a flex, it's all luck. That's it.
I'm looking at Keenan Allen here, and he got hurt at halftime, right? Or right before it?
Yeah, I think it was in the second quarter.
So, if you take that...
I hate what you're doing.
He would have gotten 192 catches, 2,016 yards receiving if you took his production from that first half.
But zero touchdowns.
Number one.
Yeah. Still, that'd be number one receiver.
Unless you got those numbers from our friend, your brother, Joey Stats, I don't believe it.
I'm just saying.
Joey Stats, so for those of you who don't know, our math major extraordinaire for the show. He creates all the statistics for us here. Great gentleman. Josh, though, is full of shit.
And his catching percentage would be like 93%.
Off of one game?
Half of a game.
Right, yeah. No.
You gotta multiply the numbers. I'm just saying. It makes sense, guys, mathematically-wise. So, I'll take off 100 yards.
Get to the next person.
Next up, we have Golden Tate at 27.
I'm more concerned about... I feel the same exact way I feel about Keenan Allen. I feel like Golden Tate. The only thing that Golden Tate has going for him is that, he does have Matthew Stafford. Obviously, Keenan Allen had Pip Rivers as well, but I just don't know. Another guy who, if I am taking him as a backup, as a flyer type deal, I'm confident in it. But 45.4 for his ADP, there's no way in hell I'm doing that. I don't know about you guys. I'm not taking him that early. That's like wide receiver two, stable right there.
Golden Tate started the year terrible last year. He had a double-digit scoring game in week one and then had four straight games under 10 points. And then absolutely blew up. Had a game of 30, 15, 11, 25, 28, 20, 20.4. He's the number one in Detroit. They like to pass the football. Jim Bob Cooter is their offensive coordinator. And Golden Tate is a perfect system fit, perfect scheme fit for Jim Bob Cooter's offense. I like Golden Tate this year. He finished 17th last year in PPR scoring. He deserves to be drafted as a number two wide receiver, and I feel comfortable with him at that
spot. He's had 90 catches the last 3 years, each season. And for PPR purposes, it makes a lot of sense, and that's where you're going to make your points. And as much as I want to say Marvin Jones is going to be a difference maker, we saw that he was to begin the season, but after that, he wasn't there.
You're looking for someone who's going to produce for you the full year. Golden Tate's proven he can't do that. That's my issue with Golden Tate.
Next up, number 26, Tyreek Hill.
Total boomer bust. Look, the Chiefs got rid of Jeremy Maclin. So obviously they believe in Tyreek Hill. I'm a little nervous about him. Let's see. I had him 28th.
I had him high. I had him 20.
Which I can get. There's big time upside with Mr. Tyreek Hill. He gets a lot of chances touching the football. They orchestrate a lot of ways to get him the football, rushing the football. If your league has kickoff yards, kickoff return, touchdowns, punt return, then he should definitely shoot up your draft board.
That was what I was going to say, too.
But in PPR, I just don't know if he's ever going to be that guy that gets 80-plus receptions. I think Travis Kelce is going to be the leading receiver for the Chiefs for the future.
Yeah, leagues that do give you points for punt return yards and kick return yards and all that, that's where I'm looking at Tyreek Hill. I'm in a couple leagues that allow that. Me being me, I didn't even look at the goddamn rules, and everybody's taking Tyreek Hill super early, and I'm like, what the hell is going on? And they're like, oh, you get the points for goddamn punt and kick return and touchdowns.
Boomhauer from King of the
Hill. Man, it was just... I was not happy at first. I'm like, son of a gun. I would have took him a little bit earlier.
I have a soft spot in my heart for Tyreek Hill. Last year, where I like Tyreek Hill is leagues. If you have a two wide receiver and a flex, I love Tyreek Hill in that flex position. Tyreek Hill, actually, I was able, after like week two last year, I picked him up off of the waiver wire, and everyone was like, who the hell is Tyreek Hill? What are you doing? And I told him, he's the guy, and it worked out freaking golden for me. I actually won me the championship in a league, so I'm all about that Tyreek Hill life.
Next up, number 25, Dante Moncrief.
All he does is score touchdowns. He is Andy Luck's red zone target. He is Andy Luck's red zone threat. People always bring up that Luck likes to throw touchdowns to tight ends, but it's Moncrief. He's the Colts' number two wide receiver. It's his breakout year. Expect big things from Mr. Dante Moncrief. Feed this man.
Tom, I want to do it. I am a huge Dante Moncrief fan. I hate the Colts because you like them, but I am a huge Dante Moncrief fan. My only concern is if Andy Luck is out, I don't know what to expect from him. That's my only concern there. I don't know who's passing him the football. So while I do love one Dante Moncrief, not sold on him yet. I would say low end wide receiver two, solid wide receiver three.
How many games did he play last year?
I believe eight.
Yeah, and he caught seven.
Yeah.
And the one game he didn't score a touchdown was when he got injured in the first quarter against the Broncos.
This guy, he's proved that if he is healthy, he is a very good weapon for that Colts team and a very good fantasy player. So it just sucks. I want to see him healthy. He's kind of in that Keenan Allen like type role, but I put Keenan Allen a little bit higher talent wise, but production wise they're pretty comparable.
Here's why all Colts wide receivers scare me, and this will preface to someone a little bit later, is specifically with Moncrief. I'm worried about his health issues. I'm worried about the quarterback's health issues. I'm worried about the running game. There's a lot going on right now in Indianapolis. I know Tom will tell you, don't worry. Big Dick, whoever will.
Ballard.
Big Dick Ballard has everything figured out, and he's just pounding 40s of four locos, and he's good to go. I don't necessarily trust it.
Let's move on to the next guy, number 24, Emmanuel Sanders.
I absolutely hate the Broncos offense this year. Not a big fan, but he might be the safer one of these Broncos receivers, been able to stay healthy, and it seems like he's over 90 receptions every year.
It's you're getting him later, you know, 56 overall. You know, that's not too terrible, and it's something I would trust.
It's good in PPR.
Yeah, it's good. And listen, if you listen to what they're saying about Paxton Lynch, you know, maybe the Broncos actually have someone to throw him the football now. It's hard, regardless. It really, to be honest, it sucks. It sucks to see guys like Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders competing with each other for a low end quarterback to get him the ball. It's frustrating. You know, you go back 2 years, Emmanuel Sanders and Demaryius Thomas are, you know, hot, probably cut in half their ADP. So it's frustrating. So I like the spot we have Emmanuel Sanders.
Next up, the guy that finished one spot above his teammate, we have Michael Crabtree.
Crabtree has seen his career become something special since he got to Oakland. It was kind of a negative when he was in San Francisco. It was a first-round pick, never really lived up to the expectations. But I like what him and Carr have together. He definitely gets targeted a bunch more in the red zone, which is more valuable than anything else. But he's going to continue to be, I think, a number two receiver for the Oakland Raiders. He's been outperforming Cooper, but I think that changes this year, and that's why I have him ranked at 25.
I like Michael Crabtree. I had him exactly at this spot at 23, but...
Congratulations.
Well, okay, thanks, Tommy Dick. I have him dropping somewhat significantly in his numbers. You know, he's been right on par with Amari Cooper. Here's my thoughts. You're talking about an Oakland Raiders team that is kind of on the precipice of a huge season, right? Marshawn Lynch is there to take away red zone targets. You have Jared Cook. Obviously, I know never really developed in Green Bay or really anywhere he's been. Had a good playoffs. He had a good end of the year for the Packers. So some people are higher on him than they should be, but it still gives Derek Carr another option in the red zone. And then you have Amari Cooper, who is, and I am positive that when we get to him later on, you will say how great and fantastic he is. You know, I really feel like this is going to be a down year for Michael Crabtree, strictly because of all the other pieces that were added.
Next up, number 22, maybe my new favorite wide receiver, because for one, he's fighting people, and two, he was on Ballers. So, Julian Edelman, number 22 on our list.
Edelman, he's a pretty cool dude. I absolutely hate that he plays with the Patriots and that his superhero is Tom Brady. he absolutely loves Tom Brady. He looks up to this guy. And Tom Brady's a total tool who enjoys eating pistachio ice cream and not drinking alcohol. Total nerd. Not a big fan of Tom Brady as a human. And, yeah. But Edelman, 98 receptions last year, 1,100 yards, 3 touchdowns, PPR freak. He's got to like everything about him in PPR leagues. He's safe. He's going to get you those consistent points in fantasy football. He's not going to get you a bunch of games where he's scoring 30 or 40 points. He's going to get you 15 to 20 every week, and you're going to be happy that he's on your team as your wide receiver too.
If Thomas BR80 is anything outside of our boy Tom's worst enemy, he is a quarterback that knows how to whip the football around, and he loves getting it to Julian Edelman. He's not always going to get all the touchdowns in the world, but he's going to get his touches regardless. So, I think he's a solid wide receiver too.
Next up, 21, Terrell Pryor.
I think the sky is the limit for this guy. He's a freak. He's a one-year prove-it deal with Kirk Cousins. Him and Kirk Cousins will end up in San Francisco next year together. They're going to have such a great year together.
Wouldn't that be crazy? Like Pryor. That'd be
you know what? I'm going to announce it right now. Can I? The Kirk Cousins and Terrell Pryor Fuck the World Tour starts in 2017. Both of them are just ready to go out there. Oh, yeah. Pryor, you saw in his the video, I believe today, yesterday, I don't know when it was, in camp, one-handed catch. He has fully developed as a wide receiver. He's ready to make a name for himself. Kirk Cousins, Terrell Pryor, especially if Jordan friggin' Reed can't get this little piggy that went to market to friggin' pay attention and get him in the friggin' football game, Terrell Pryor is going to be a stud. Terrell Pryor is going to be the steal of every fantasy football draft this year.
Reception leader last year, number 20, Larry Fitzgerald.
Hold on, Josh, say that again. The what leader?
Reception leader.
The reception leader.
Is that important for PPR leagues?
I mean, this guy, can you talk about disrespect?
Oh, yeah.
Larry Fitzgerald literally just catches footballs and reads Berenstain Bears books to kids. That's all he does with his life. That's it. He's just one of the greatest human beings to ever walk this earth, and he just goes out there and dominates, and people just think it's his age, because of this, because of that. He is a solid number two to low-end number two to high-end number three wide receiver, and if you get him on your fantasy football team, you should be thrilled.
Yeah, I'm expecting the same type of season. He's been doing severe damage in the slot for the Cardinals. That's where he matches up the best for that team right now, and he's been doing great work for them. And I could see him getting over 100 receptions again, making him a legit number two, maybe even a low-end number one receiver. I think I'm a little too low on him right now.
Yeah, he's a guy that has finished top 11 quite a few years out of the last 10 years,
yeah.
Six or seven times in the top 11. And I think a lot of people do sleep on Larry Fitzgerald, and it's crazy.
He's not sexy.
They added a rookie in Chad Williams, but at the same time, it's they've done that before. They've done that with J.J. Nelson. They've done that with, you know, a couple other guys.
Anquan Boldin.
Yeah, you just have to believe. Especially if this is going to be the last year for Larry Fitzgerald.
Got to believe.
If this is going to be the last year of his, then he's going to go out with a bang, right? You have to think of it.
My favorite thing, he still has Carson Palmer. Carson Palmer still knows how. He's not the most accurate quarterback anymore, but he can still get the ball downfield. And guess what? Larry Fitzgerald can still get there.
Well, we got 23 more minutes, and we got 19 more guys to go through. So let's do it. 19, Jarvis Landry.
Catches a ton of footballs, similar to Mr. Julian Edelman. Had 94 receptions last year. Touchdown total will be down, and I am expecting a bigger role for Devontae Parker.
I like the player, I don't like the draft position. 36 overall is way too early, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Number 18, and the reason why he's number 18 is I want to take credit for that. we have Brandon Cooks.
A lot of people are comparing him coming to the Patriots as the same as when Randy Moss came to the Patriots. He is adding a deep threat to this offense, but I don't think it's going to be that big of a deal. I still think Gronk and Jules Edelman will be the top two dogs in New Orleans.
Jules will not be. Gronk will be if he's healthy. Listen, when you're right, he's not Randall Moss. When Randall came, Randall was outside of his prime already. He still was able to catch all those footballs because Tom Brady was so fantastic. Now it's the opposite. Tom Brady is a little bit out of his twilight. Brandon Cooks is in the prime of his career. 18 is too low. Josh, you did everyone listening a disservice by being a prick.
Tim, you had him at 16, so quit acting like holier than thou right now.
I'm not asking.
I could be completely wrong on Brandon Cooks. He finished last year as a top 10 wide receiver, but I could be wrong. But I'm not.
And normally when you're leaving Drew Brees, you don't find a better quarterback.
He did.
He did.
But there's a lot of weapons that they have to give the ball to.
And Brandon Cooks has never played a football game in 55 degrees or less weather. He's going to get a ton of those games in Foxborough.
Next up, 17, Demaryius Thomas.
Just not a huge fan of him. His mom got out of jail and finally gets to watch him live
in football games.
I just don't like that offense in Denver.
I don't like the offense either, and you guys should both be embarrassed that Demaryius Thomas is ranked in front of Brandon Cooks, because that's a fucking joke. It's a fucking
Demaryius
joke.
Demaryius had 90 receptions last year.
I'm not worried about it at all.
It's a joke.
I'm all right with
Brandon Cooks will definitely steak dinner bet with whoever. Brandon Cooks will finish better than Demaryius Thomas.
Ha! Take it.
Tim's not going to pay anyway.
Write that shit down, because it's over. You can just give me my steak now. Next up, number 16, Alshon Jeffrey.
He'll finish better than him, too.
Jeffrey should be the lead dog in Philly. I think, didn't he sit out? He sat out of practice today. Don't like seeing that for a guy who's struggled finding the field. But he took a one-year prove-it deal. If he can ever stay healthy, it's going to be this year. This man wants to get paid.
Number 15 may be a shocker to some people. We have Martavis Bryant.
I love Bryant at 15. Yeah, it's definitely a shocker. Kind of similar to our Joe Mixon being in our top 10. But I think Martavis Bryant has all the talent in the world. He has changed his life around. He's got a new nose ring. It is making him faster than ever. He's gained 10 pounds. And he's running a 4.3 240 time. He got timed on his iPhone going that fast. So you got to trust it. You got to believe it. He might be the best receiver on the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Okay, first off, you're drunk. Second off, a man shouldn't wear a nose ring. Third off, Martavis Bryant, I had him at 15 as well. I had him there out of respect for him and his talents and what he has shown. He's still playing second fiddle to Antonio Brown. You trying to scare me and saying that he's the wide receiver in Pittsburgh to own, you're out of your fucking mind. Ben Roethlisberger, who is more than likely playing in his last year in the NFL, it's not realistic.
DeAndre Hopkins, 14 on our list.
He has to be better than last year, right?
And you got to hope so.
Can't be much worse.
And I'm hoping his quarterback play is a little bit better this year. I like Hopkins. I like the way he plays, even though he's really weird and has like a purse for his little small dog he owns.
It's called a satchel, you dick.
He doesn't play football like that. He's kind of a badass. I like Hopkins, and I respect
him. I don't like his ADP, though. His ADP, he's going as the 29th guy.
Yeah.
And to be honest, you're looking at some of the other guys. Allen Robinson's going as 47. Devontae Adams is going as 53, even though Adams is not the number one guy on the team. He had a good year last year. Doug Baldwin is going as number 32. He's number 10 on our list. And I don't know if I'd rather draft Doug Baldwin, but I know Doug Baldwin's going to produce.
My favorite part about DeAndre Hopkins, number one, you talk about his attitude. He doesn't play about that on the field. I always think about him and Courtland Finnegan. That happened years back.
That was Andre Johnson, dummy.
Oh, that was Andre Johnson. You're right. I'm sorry. But you think about DeAndre Hopkins, and you feel like he's been in the league for forever, right? He's only 25 years old, so he's still got a lot of life left in him. He has the ability to still go with, say, Deshaun Watson comes in to develop that relationship, be that guy, and he's still in the early end of the prime of his career. So
number 13, Allen Robinson, AR-15.
AR-15.
You guys worried about Doug Marrone requesting not to throw a football next season?
Well, I can pretty much guarantee that if they go off Doug Marrone's strategy of no passing plays, that AR-15's value significantly drops.
Yeah, I don't think the 47.8 would be a good spot for him if they throw zero passes. But definitely a down year last year for him. But he might be kind of hit or miss every season. Look, where does Allen Robinson do a lot of his damage? Touchdowns and deep throws. Those are both inconsistent plays. They're both plays that are hard to predict. He doesn't do a lot of intermediate work. But it's going to be interesting. He still reminds me of a Dez Bryant, a guy who can score double-digit touchdowns each year. He just doesn't have a quarterback throwing him the football right now.
If Jacksonville goes out and drafts six tight ends next year, I will believe that they will run the ball every single time.
My point, the only part where I do like good analysis, Dicker. AR-15, the big benefit for him, I do feel like, is adding a Leonard Fournette, adding a true running game, should help him downfield.
Next up, number 12, Davante Adams.
Blech. Kind of shocked we had him this high, but Tim, you had him at 14.
Yep.
I had him at 14. Josh at 12.
Yeah.
Why'd you have him so high?
He just had a very good year last year, and, you know, Jordy Nelson is a year older, but at the same time, I feel like they're going to rely on that passing game. I'm not a believer in Ty Montgomery, and that is a main reason why I did have Adams so high on my list, and there's not really anybody else wide receiver-wise that I feel like can take the ball away from Davante Adams, even though he does drop touchdown passes in the end zone. Cobb is almost an afterthought. It's crazy to think about. Cobb, before a year or two ago, was thought as possibly a top 20 wide receiver. Now he's not even in our top 40.
That makes me wonder, like, is this Davante Adams has had two solid seasons back to back. But remember, last season, if you go back and look at his stats, Davante Adams was very hot, cold, hot, cold, hot, cold. So what are we going to see? Are we going to see that he's, you know, going to be the consistent guy? He's going to be the solid number two behind Jordy Nelson? Or, you know, is Randy Cobb going to be able to step up a little bit? Or is someone else going to come up and, you know, is Ty Montgomery going to go back to wide receiver because he's not a real running back and he's going to be garbage there? What's going to happen? I don't know. I had him at 14. 12 is a fair spot for him. You can't deny the numbers that he put up. If it's me, I can guarantee you that he will never be on my team as a number one wide receiver.
And it's crazy to think about. The guy finished with 75 catches last year, 12 touchdowns. That's where he made a lot of his production. But he finished ahead of guys like Larry Fitzgerald, Amari Cooper, Demaryius Thomas. And then he finished pretty close with Doug Baldwin and Michael Thomas. Those guys are elite right there. And it's crazy to think that he is the number two guy on that team. Hands down, number two guy, and he's in your top 10 of wide receivers that finished.
You got to look at the production the last three seasons for the Green Bay Packers' number two receiver. Over 900 yards, over 10 touchdowns, over 80 receptions. So that's what you got to expect out of Adams. I'm not a huge fan of Martellus Bennett. A lot of people are thinking he's going to take away a lot of those receptions from Devontae. I'm not a big-time believer. And getting him 53.4 overall, late fourth, early fifth, I love that value for him.
Number 11, Dez Bryant.
Personally, I'm pretty low on him. I had him at number 11. Josh, you had him at 11. Tim at number 9. I'm just a little worried about some of his matchups. Dez has struggled in the past facing elite-level cornerbacks. Look at his games against Josh Norman the last few seasons. He's kind of been shut down. He's also faced Janoris Jenkins twice a year as well. Dez is going to score touchdowns, but I don't think that offense is going to be that prolific. They're going to be running the football as much as they can. It's going to run through Ezekiel Elliott. And I think the days of Dez Bryant being elite and an option to be a top five guy are over with.
I can agree with you, but who else do they have? Terrence Williams?
Yes, I agree.
That's about it.
I still had him as a top 10 guy. Listen, when he plays the Giants, I'm going to bench him. I mean, to be honest, or I'm going to hope that I have someone else to play in there, but outside of the games when he's playing those top corners, which isn't going to be every week, I'm gonna go with Dez Bryant.
That's why I had him low, though. He's going 19 overall, and if you're saying you have to bench him certain weeks, you shouldn't be drafting him in the second round. It's just,
I agree completely.
Yeah.
Next up, number 10, Doug Baldwin. It's funny, me and Chris from Sleeper Wire have had a long conversation about Doug Baldwin. He's a guy that has produced over and over again, but it's a guy that you draft and you're like, God, I drafted him as my number one.
You and
who? I really don't want him. Chris.
From Tire Wire?
From Tire Wire. No, but that's just the way that I look at it. And he's produced over and over again. You almost have to just say, I'm going to ride or die with it and be done.
Yeah, he's definitely not the sexiest pick in the world. In 2015, we saw him absolutely blow up. Last season, he started a little slow, but he started picking up in those touchdowns and those receptions. But he is the number one guy for Seattle. Russell Wilson, the dangerous one himself, loves Doug Baldwin. He's going to be the number one, and he is being disrespected right now.
Listen, my children have made me mud pies sexier than Doug Baldwin, okay? This guy is you see him and you just, if he's there in the start of the third round or the end of the second round, you're just like, God, yeah. Do I really, like, this is the best available? This is what I should take? The answer is yes, you should. Now, he does scare me a little bit because I feel like Seattle is going to struggle this year at times with their the offensive line, with the running game that's kind of in flux. But they still have Russell Wilson, who has shown that he knows how to get the ball out there. So if he's there, you kind of have to take him.
Next up is going to be number 9, A.J. Green.
For me, I had him ranked a little lower, but I'm worried about his health right now. We saw him get banged up the last two seasons. Last year, missed majority of the year. Started off real hot. Had a bunch of big-time games for the Cincinnati Bengals, but was definitely not worth that first-round selection like a lot of people were drafting him. I'm a little lower on A.J. Green than most people right now. He's being taken in the top 10.
He just got to stay healthy. That's the biggest thing. If he's healthy, then I understand the top 10.
I almost disagree with that. He needs to stay healthy, but, you know, he's still got Andy Dalton as his quarterback. So
next up, we have number 8, Mike Evans.
Evans led the NFL in targets last year, 175, but the Bucs have added a lot of talented pass catchers. I think his numbers are going to go down. One of the reasons he was so elite last year was because of those targets. His targets are going to drop somewhere about 150, 160, somewhere in that range, so I'm expecting his numbers to drop.
I agree with that. A lot of offensive weapons added to that team.
O.J. Howard.
O.J. Howard, yes, but DeSean Jackson, that's not as big. He's not going to be there for 16 games. He's going to be there for maybe 12 tops.
Next up, number 7, Amari Cooper.
It's Cooper's third year in the NFL. I'm expecting a big-time breakout year for him. We've seen him get better each of the last two seasons. He's gotten better as a fantasy wide receiver, better as a real NFL player in general. And if it wasn't for Derek Carr's finger injury last season, Cooper, he was a top-5 wide receiver before that injury, and he had the leg injury as well, but Cooper's ready to break out. It's his time.
Amari Cooper, this is the year. This is his year to prove himself. I had him at number 6. He has every ability, and he has the potential to be a top-5 wide receiver.
Next up, number 6, Michael Thomas, with the loss of Brandon Cooks. I think he's going to be a top guy.
He's one of my favorite picks in the second round. I think he's one of the safer guys. He's going to be the guy for New Orleans, and him and Breeze have a very good connection.
I still had him at 8, but that's just not as high as you guys. It's different when you're the guy, and that's it. There's no one else. I know he has Ted Ginn. I know how much you guys love him, but we'll see.
Not a lot of times a rookie comes in and gets more targets than a veteran on that team. 122 to 117. It's pretty crazy to see. Number 5, T.Y. Hilton.
Last 32 games.
Hey, wait. What? He should just be a flex. All right.
Oh, my God.
8-bit bros, guys.
Come on.
Come on now. You guys cannot say T.Y. Hilton is good enough for a flex. I'm sorry. Continue.
All right. The last 32 games T.Y. Hilton has played with Andrew Luck, he has had 180 receptions, 3,050 yards, and 16 touchdowns. That is extremely elite company right there. I'm not really worried about Andrew Luck. Jason LaConforta is a douchebag. He could suck. Never
Whoa.
Mind. Well, I'm sorry.
There's kids.
He
Listen.
Could kill himself.
Whoa!
But Andrew Luck is going to start the season.
No, he's not.
Steak dinner, Ben?
Done.
All right. What do you guys think of T.Y.?
I'm fine with T.Y. If Andrew Luck is playing, I'm fine with T.Y. But if it's Scott Tolzien or whoever the else they
his
have.
Value.
Yeah, his value. I he's going to be a he's going to drop out of my top 20.
I like – oh, that's dumb. I like Eugene.
How's that dumb?
I don't think he drops out of the top 20. I think he's too talented, and I give the Colts more shit than anyone just because I hate Tom. But Eugene is a very talented – that's why I had him the highest out of anyone at number 4.
It's crazy.
Next up, number four, OBJ.
I had him in front of OBJ, and I am a huge OBJ supporter. I love him, but with the weapons that they added, Brandon Marshall alone takes away from him. Sterling Shepard, getting older, maturing, is going to take some things away from him. Apparently, Evan Engram is the second coming of Jesus Christ, so yeah, he's going to catch 100 balls. I like OBJ, but I think number five is a good spot for him. We had him at four overall.
Next up, number three, Julio Jones.
I'm nervous about Julio staying healthy.
You took him last year in a lot of leagues.
I did, and he kind of burned me a little bit, but he's a freak. I think he's the most physically talented wide receiver in the NFL besides Martavis Bryant. Yeah. I'm just kidding, guys, but Julio Jones is a stud, plays with a great offense. I'm just a little nervous about him. I'd rather have OBJ.
Part of me wonders if he plays when he wants to play, turns it on when he wants to turn it on, kind of that wide receiver mentality. At times, he showed that a little bit last year, I think.
In the Super Bowl, he showed like how dominant he could be. He was getting double and triple covered and making amazing catches.
When he wants to, he's 1A and 1B with Antonio Brown. But, like Josh said, injury issues concern me.
Next up, 1 and 2. Number 1, Antonio Brown. Number 2, Jordy Nelson.
Jordy Nelson deserves to be the number 2 wideout because of his touchdowns. Him and Aaron Rodgers have a great connection. And I think it's the stat was since 2013, Jordy Nelson leads the NFL in receiving touchdowns, even though he missed a full season. Absolutely crazy stat. But 152 targets last year, 1,257 yards, 97 receptions, and 14 touchdowns. Jordy Nelson deserves to be ranked this high, and a lot of people disrespect him.
Absolutely. Jordy Nelson's the man. What can I say? I'm not a Green Bay Packers fan, supporter, or even neutral on him. I hate the Green Bay Packers, but Jordy Nelson is the number 2 wide receiver in fantasy football.
Do you guys have any bold predictions at all for some of these wideouts that we just ranked?
Martavis Bryant, number 1 receiver on Pittsburgh.
Well, that's not a bold prediction. That's a dumbass prediction.
Come on, man.
You might as well be on Firewire or whatever these dumbass shows are. You might as well be on one of those. Go on as a guest and say that dumbass prediction. Don't bring that stuff here.
A real bold one, though, Cooper, top 5 receiver. He's being drafted 21st overall. I think that's close to wide receiver 10 or 11 on ESPN. I think he could finish top 5.
I'm going to go Michael Thomas. Above 145 targets, above 100 receptions, and above 1,250 yards, and above 10 touchdowns.
I'm going to say...
improving all across the board.
I'm going to say Terrell Pryor has 12 touchdowns or more.
I can see that, Tim.
12 touchdowns?
12 touchdowns or more.
Wow, that is...
or more. I told you, this is the Terrell Pryor and Kirk Cousins Fuck the World show. It starts here in 2017.
That's interesting.
It's going to happen.
I don't know. I like Pryor. I find it hard. I don't know. I just feel like there's a lot of weapons to go around. Yeah, I guess it all depends for me if Jordan Reed is going to be 100% healthy.
There are a lot of weapons to feed there, but last season we saw the Redskins produce 3,000-yard receivers. They kind of spread the football around a lot. But I think a lot of it will be Jordan Reed, if he can stay healthy.
But I think even if Jordan Reed is healthy, especially if he's healthy, I think that helps Terrell Pryor. It helps get some of the looks off of him.
He's possible. Someone
with sure hands, kind of a, just like in fantasy, people are just kind of like, oh yeah, he's there, you know, we'll just throw a corner on him, don't need a safety over the top. Okay, let's see what happens.
Oh yeah.
Well, anything else, guys? Got like 2 minutes left.
That's about all I got.
Elshon Jeffrey, I feel like, is in for a down year, and this might be his swan song. I don't know. This is his last year to live up to the hype.
He needs to stay healthy and play, especially taking that risk of signing that one-year deal.
He was looking for a long-term deal. The Bears actually offered him more money for a one-year deal. He said, no, I'm not taking a one-year deal. Ended up taking it in Philadelphia because he liked the direction of the team. I can't blame him. I would have too. With that being said, if you go and do that and you can't stay healthy and you've had some of these quote-unquote character issues that they've talked about in the past and then you still don't produce, you're going to be a wide receiver 3 for the San Francisco 49ers with Brian Hoyer real soon there, champ.
All right, everybody, that's all we have for you. I hope you guys enjoyed our first live show, and we are hopefully going to be your source for fantasy football information.
Year round.
Year round. We do all the breakdowns for all the rookie kids coming in, and we do everything.
And to Josh's point, like he was, listen, we are here year round. We are breaking down fantasy every single week. And when the off season starts, we're breaking down fantasy prospects. We're breaking down draft previews. We do everything NFL, and we make sure it all goes back to fantasy football. We bring it all back home. We don't ever stop. We keep working. We're not these other guys who just feed you bullshit. We are the ones who are going to win you your fantasy football championship. Do not miss an episode.
Also, if you guys get time, check out our MMA podcast that we do too. That is the MMA News Podcast powered by Pony Kick Sports. You guys can check that out. I believe they're going to start launching it on Friday nights on WBLZ Sports. We got balls as well. So be on the lookout for that.
Boom.
Again, we are Pony Kick Sports. You guys can follow us on Twitter at Pony Kick Sports, at Pony Kick Tom, at Pony Kick Tim. Hit us up on our website, ponykicksports.com. Email us, ponykicksports@gmail.com. Check out our buddies again at cleatgeeks.com. Hit them up on Twitter at cleatgeeks. And yeah, do whatever you want. Ask us questions. We'll answer them on air and on the podcast. We do four podcasts a week. So hit us up. We'll be here. Until next time.
Peace.